meatball ice cream. And there was like, this
was the doctors could not understand.
It's just like my Aspire card. Pulled it out and boom!
Father, the most important thing that can happen tonight is you.
Yeah, amen. Yes, you.
That you would reveal your heart. You would speak forth that present word that would so change us and transform us. That creative word, Father, that would bring change and substance. Yes. Or let there be spirit and life impartation into every single one of our lives, Father, tonight. May we leave this home saying, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, thank you.
Not because of a man or a personality, but because of the King of Kings, yes. The Lord of Lords, yes. The bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, our sweet bridegroom has entered the building, entered this home, and has rested and manifested himself. Lord, we pray for a further manifestation of you in this home. Lord, the meetings in Long Island have been so powerful thus far. And I'm so grateful and thankful to be able to be in Northport and then Sayville tomorrow. And Father, I so desire for you to come and to move.
Yes, Lord.
To have your way. So Lord, I yield my vessel over to you. Realizing without you, I am nothing. Knowing, Lord, that I'm dependent upon you, I ask you for a hot coal of fire, that you would place it once again upon my lips, that I would lose my voice, and that I become the voice of another, the voice of one crying in Northport,
hallelujah,
one of crying in Long Island, preparing the way of the Lord. Father, speak your word with clarity and anointing. Let it be creative. Quicken us tonight, Lord. Stir us tonight, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And stir your church tonight in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm asking for church transformation in Long Island.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus,
yes,
we're so grateful. We're so grateful in Jesus' name. Hide me behind your cross that you would receive the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have such anticipation in my heart for what God is doing in Long Island.
Hallelujah.
Every time I come to Long Island, I literally feel like I was born here. God has given me that ability to where I travel somewhere, I have an empathy, I feel like I'm there. I'm carrying a burden for the Church of Long Island. And I believe that God desires to do something within the church. I believe that there are many in Long Island, as well as anywhere in the world you can apply this, but specifically I'm speaking about Long Island tonight. There's been many that have been hurt in the church. There are some that have even given up on church. They were hurt so bad. I see people that have been hurt by pastors, and I see pastors that have been hurt by people. I've seen people throw in the towel and say, I'm never going back to church. And I've seen pastors say, I'm never going to minister again. And I sense the Lord saying, I am not going to give up on my church. That I am active in my church. And I have a purpose and a plan and a destiny for my church. And I'm about to release a very special anointing upon the church. That's going to bring change and transformation during these end times. I'm talking about not just an ordinary anointing, but I'm talking about an apostolic anointing that God is getting ready to release upon the church. And when I say apostolic anointing, I'm not talking about a super team of apostles, super apostles that are going to be released on the church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something higher than a man.
Yes.
I'm talking about an apostolic anointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to dig into that because I believe this message is going to lead into a message on holiness tomorrow. But we're going to set it all up. The more I travel, the more I get to go to different churches, the more I fall in love with the church. I really do. I carry such a burden. There are sometimes I can't stop the tears when I'm driving and I'm all alone, especially for 6-7 hours, and I'm driving. Sometimes I'll be overcome with a burden for the church. I wish that I could have arms that reach a million miles, where I could just grab a hold of people and say, in the name of Jesus, take your rightful place. Because the Lord has a church within a church. And a people within a people. And a wheel within a wheel. He is actively preparing His people within a people, His church within a church. He is moving. And He's preparing a remnant. An overcoming remnant, a mature bride of Christ, He's preparing them. And I believe with all my heart, in 2020, He's beginning to release an apostolic anointing through His bride, through His overcomers, that's going to bring change to the church. God does not want you to give up on the church. God wants you to reform the church. And He's raising up people in Long Island that are overcomers.
That's right.
That aren't going to throw in the towel just because things have gotten dark in some churches. Not every church. Some churches. And God is bringing people in.
Yes,
He is. That carry a very special anointing. Hallelujah, to bring change and transformation.
Yes. Yes.
There's a very special apostolic anointing that God desires to rest upon the leadership of churches in the end times. It's not an anointing that brings pride. It's an anointing that brings humility and holiness. It's not a ministry that carries an important title necessarily. It's a ministry that resembles the character of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about that tonight. Let's start with Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 26. It says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations."
Hallelujah.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken as shivers, even as I have received of my Father. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star.
Yep.
And he that have ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Let him that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So the Lord says, within the church, I have a message that's so important, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. And he begins in verse 26, speaking of overcomers, to he that overcomes. The last two nights, we were talking about a remnant overcoming bride. Yeah. And here we see once again this overcoming bride, this remnant of overcomers that keeps his works unto the end. In other words, they don't love the heavenly bridegroom with just words. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But with deeds and actions, they're following hard after God. They're saying, Jesus, I love you so much, I don't want to displease you. John 14, 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. If I love my wife, I'm not just going to tell her that I love her, but I'm going to back that up. That means if others come and present themselves to me, I reject them because I've been married to the same woman for 25 years.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, I should be faithful to her in word and in deed.
Amen. Yes.
And the Lord will have a bride in the end times that's faithful. Faithful not just with their words on Sunday morning, but faithful to the Lord in action. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I've had friends over the years totally backslidden, totally not living the life. And they, I love God. I love God. So flippantly, I love God. The Lord does not have a bride that's going around saying, I love God, but I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to treat them any way that I want. Who wants to be married to somebody that just treats them any way that they want? Has no real respect or revere or awe or sense of commitment. The Lord wants a bride who's an overcomer.
Yes.
She's overcoming the temptations. She's overcoming life struggles. She's backing up her love for God with her actions. She's not doing these actions as a religious duty. She's doing it because she loves him. Mm-hmm. I'm faithful to Diane, my wife of 25 years, because I love her. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I don't want to see any tears come down her face because I broke her heart. I want to be committed. I wanted to love her in action.
Amen.
And so I sing love songs to my wife every single day. I truly do. Every day. I'm not saying that to brag, but I love my wife. I want to sing love songs to her, and I do. I make up little love songs. I want her to feel special.
That's special. Yes.
And when I think about that, I think about Christ will have a bride.
Yes, he will.
That has a new song in their heart. And they sing love songs, and they're obedient to the Lord, and they're overcoming because they love him. They're in love with him. His eyes, it blaze like fire. How could they hurt him? Does that mean that they're perfect? No, absolutely not. Nobody's perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But when we do fall short, we run into his loving arms full of Amen. Grace and say, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
We don't continue down that destructive path of disobedience. Remember, Peter denied him, but Peter didn't stay in that place. What did Peter do? It wasn't very long after he repented and he preached to 3,000 people and they were saved. Hallelujah. God used him. God is using his remnant bride. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end. Hallelujah. Lord, let me be faithful to the end. In this world where it's dark and compromising, where people are doing whatever they want and calling themselves Christian, Lord, let me be faithful to you to the end. Lord, I want to stand before you knowing that I've done it well, that I've been faithful. Lord, may you see that in me to the end. And then it says, to him will I give power over the nations. I will give power over the nations. The overcomers will receive power and authority because they first have been faithful to the Lord. They'll rule with the Lord. Why? Because they've allowed the Lord to rule in their hearts. They will sit with the Lord on his throne as his queen because of the fact that he has sat on the throne of their hearts. He's calling the shots. He's not just Savior, he's Lord. There's a difference of making Jesus your Savior and making Jesus your Lord. Making Jesus your Lord means he's the ruler, he's the master, he's calling the shots. Therefore, I'm going to do what he wants me to do, not what I want to do. Because what I want to do is not necessarily what he wants me to do. So therefore, I'm going to crucify my desire, not my will, but your will be done, oh God. On earth as it is in heaven.
My God.
Hallelujah. I want to be an overcomer.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And I will give power over the nations.
Yes.
Right now, the church is being laughed at and mocked.
Yes. Yes.
Watch late night television. They make fun of preachers and Christians.
Oh,
but God is raising up behind the scenes an overcoming bride.
Yes.
Yes, and she will have authority with consequence.
You,
and there will come a time in the end times that we are in where she'll begin to take her rightful place. And she will be filled, listen to me, with the apostolic anointing. She's going to function and flow with the apostolic anointing and bring divine order.
Yes.
And we can see this order. And she... Verse 27 says, and he, but speaking of she as well, shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
What does that mean? She will rule and reign with Christ. And when she speaks with authority, she's not speaking out of her own authority, but she's speaking from his authority because she has become so yielded that she is now his heart. And he can trust her. So she will rule the nations. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I see that, feel that.
Amen.
I know that's true.
Amen.
So the Lord has been speaking to me about this apostolic anointing. And the Lord's been speaking to me how he's raising up a mature bride, a group of overcomers that are going to function and flow in the authority that Christ has given them. And they will have a rod of iron.
Yes, they will.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we will.
And they're not going to carry themselves like a big shot with an entourage of 25 little guys around them carrying their Bible and putting hankies over their foreheads. And stuff. It's not going to be like that. But I'm telling you what, they are going to have the radiant glory of God upon them because they've spent so much time in the presence of the Lord. And they're going to have authority. I believe that there's some pastors that have 10,000 members in it, and I'm not saying this in a negative sense, I'm just saying they will not be a part of this overcoming remnant flowing in the apostolic anointing. But there may be a minister that has five people and they've been faithful with those five people.
Yes.
And they love Jesus with all of their heart, and they're humble, and they give God the glory, and God's going to raise them up on the earth, and they are going to rule with the rod of iron. They're going to have great responsibility in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to raise them up, and they're going to do mighty things. They're going to rule with the rod of iron. Hallelujah. With authority.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I felt that. You're going to rule with the rod of iron.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I am. Man.
Let it be. Man. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Because we're in so in unity and harmony with the Father
Amen.
And his heart and his purposes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And he's gathering that remnant.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the daughters of Jerusalem. And he's giving them a rod that they may speak forth. Now, I love this in the Passion Translation. And it says, to everyone who is victorious and continues to do my works to the very end, I will give you authority over the nations to shepherd them with a royal scepter. I love that. I'm going to give you authority. This authority does not come from yourself. This authority comes from the Lord. Why does this authority come? It comes as a result of a divine intimacy and relationship that you have with your heavenly bridegroom. You've become his queen. Therefore, what you speak and decree and declare happens because of the fact you're in harmony and unity. You're in marriage with that heavenly bridegroom. And he gives you the ability to be able to have authority over the nations and to shepherd them. So you're not just ruling and reigning and just look at you little peons, but you're shepherding, you're loving. So the Lord's going to give great authority to those who truly love his church. Not those that want power, but those that love the church, that are burdened. They're not a bride that has pride. They're a bride that's humble and holy. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it says, and the rebellious will be shattered as clay pots. And the rebellious will be shattered as clay pots. Even as I also received authority from the presence of my Father, I will give you the morning star to the one who experiences victory. So there'll be a shattering of the clay pots. In other words, what you speak and declare will be a creative word, will be a present word, and there'll be action. There'll be consequence to what you're saying as you begin to rule and reign with Christ with an apostolic anointing that's going to shift things, that's going to shift the church and bring change and transformation. There's so much more that I could say there, and I'll dig into it as we go. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's a promise that even as he received authority in the presence of the Father, that we would receive authority. And then it speaks about, I love this, where it speaks about the morning star. Mm-hmm. And I will give the morning star to the ones who experience victory.
Yes.
Who is the morning star?
Jesus.
I will give the heavenly bridegroom to those that truly love him. I will give. I like to put it this way. I've never heard it put this way before, but this is the way I like to put it. I will give in marriage. I will give the morning star.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I will give. There'll be a unity, a marriage, a commitment, a flow. So the ones whose heart is open to let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying. Hallelujah. May we be listening to what the Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit has something to say to the end time church. Are we listening to what he has to say? He's preparing a bride. There's an apostolic anointing that's about to usher in a new church that will be different than any other church in history.
Amen.
There's an apostolic anointing that he's going to release through his bride.
Yes.
That's going to bring forth a new church that history has never seen before. The church that you see today is not the final church.
That's right.
We're going to dig into that. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 25, and it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This verse has been so quickened to me over the last few months. I've read this verse millions of times throughout the years. I've studied this, but I've never really got it until recently. When the Lord began to reveal to me that within this verse is the heart of Christ for his church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ think about this, also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord loves the church. Why don't we love the church? Why do we find fault so much with this church? I know there's a lot of things that happen within church that we don't agree with, but you know what? Right here it says that the Lord loves the church. What we need to do is we need to get down on our face and begin to weep for the church, intercede for the church, decree and declare for the church, that people's eyes would be opened, that they'd be a part of the church within the church. The Lord is actively moving within the church, gathering a remnant of people from it. And he's given an apostolic anointing to those that can come and bring a reformation within the church and bring a change that we so desperately need. I want you to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ loves his church. Amen. His heart bleeds for his church. He's so desirous that the church would come higher in 2020. I've heard of churches that have split over if Adam and Eve had a belly button or not. I've heard churches split because they painted the walls a certain color. People have fought over music ministry. Quickest way to start a split in a church is a worship leader. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time with the worship. People fighting and all kinds of stuff over that. But you know what? In spite of all the chaos and the carnality that we see within the church, I want you to know that Jesus loves the church.
Yes, he does.
And I say, Lord, give me a soft heart for your church. Because I have to be honest, sometimes I got so hurt and disgusted inside of the church that I just never wanted to go back. I felt that way at times. There are still times, because I get invited to so many different kinds of churches, and sometimes I'm preaching, and sometimes I just visit a different church. There's been times where literally I sat inside of the church and I was so grieved by what I seen that literally I would weep in the church. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I'm just going to tell myself, I pull a Hattie Hammond. Hattie Hammond said, come on, Jesus, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Sometimes it's hard. You go to certain places where you know that it's just not where it needs to be. But does Jesus still love those people?
Yes.
Is he not married to the backslider?
Yes.
Does he not have a higher purpose for those?
Yes.
Is there not a remnant, even if there's only 5 people out of 1,000? Is there not at least 5 people within that body of people that's the remnant that Christ is gathering?
Yeah. Thank you.
Does he not desire to bring an apostolic anointing that would bring divine order to that church?
Come, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come, Lord.
Will we agree with heaven and begin to intercede for the church? Hallelujah. And believe that God is doing something. If we would spend more time praying and fasting and interceding for even the leadership of churches than we do gossiping and complaining about them, I think that we would see transformation. See, I see things from 2 points of view. I was a pastor for decades. Pastor churches, and it is very difficult to pastor, so I have heart for pastors. Yeah. I've also been in churches where I was spiritually abused and so hurt that I never wanted to go back. I see things from both points of view, and I think that the answer is that the Lord needs to come and reform his church.
That's right.
The Lord gave me a vision in 1993 when I just got out of Pinecrest Bible Training Center. And I remember they all got around us, Wade Taylor, all of us, and they prayed for all of us and sent us off. And they sent me off, and I packed up my car, and I went back to Ohio, where my parents were the pastors of their church. It was the church that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And my father made me the associate pastor, the youth pastor, the piano player. He made me the church cleaner, the toilet cleaner, the lawnmower. I did all the dirty tissues on the altar. I mean, then he only paid me $100 a month. That's all the church could afford. Wow. And I can remember I was living with my parents because I was very poor. And I got a little job working at Ponderosa as a waiter, and I wasn't making that much money. And I had to have faith to believe back then that I could even pay my car payment. But for whatever reason, God began to move in my life during that first few years. And when I got fresh out of Pinecrest, I remember I was downstairs in the family room where we had a hope chest. And I was sitting on the hope chest, and the Lord gave me my very first vision. It was so powerful, about knocked me right off the hope chest. And I saw, in a vision, I saw a huge church. And I saw a wind blow through the church.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
A wind was blowing through the church. Mm-hmm. And I saw a big broom. And the broom was sweeping from the pulpit all the way to the back. Mm-hmm. And was sweeping the back pews. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I am cleansing my temple. And I am bringing the wind of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That would bring a cleansing from the pulpit all the way to the back pew. From the pastor all the way to the backslider. The Lord's going to do a work within His church. We're all going to go up higher. Hallelujah. He's going to cleanse this temple. I said, Lord, start with me. I have not arrived. Search my heart, O God. If there be anything on the inside of me, Lord, show me, God. Begin that cleansing. And I remember speaking about the Lord cleansing His temple. There was such a tangible presence of the Lord that Sunday morning. I was so thankful. And the Lord was from my father, my mother, myself, everyone in leadership, to everyone in the church. We were all repenting and asking the Lord, Lord, if there's anything within us, come and cleanse Your temple. When I say the temple, I'm not speaking of a building. I'm talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything, Lord, come and cleanse it. Just like You cast out the money chambers out of the temple, Lord, come and cast out anything, Father, that's stealing Your glory, that's misusing the spiritual, whatever, Lord, just come and do that inner work, that cleansing. And I believe that's exactly what the Lord is doing today within the church. He's coming with fire, He's coming with the wind, and he's blowing upon the church, and He's asking the church to come up higher, and He's looking for those that will be burdened, that would love the church like He loves the church, that wouldn't give up on the church, but would intercede and pray, and even fast. I've had to ask myself the question, because I've complained about the church quite a lot, and I've had to ask myself the question, how many times have I fasted, went without food, that there would be a mighty visitation of God that would bring change to the church. In the end times, there will be, hallelujah, a mighty move of the Spirit. And the Lord is going to use an overcoming bride that's going to come with an apostolic anointing that's going to bring order from the chaos.
Right.
And there's going to be a gathering, there's going to be a remnant that's going to be formed, and God's going to have His church within a church.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank You, Jesus. I feel that. Verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of His word. Or of the water by the word, some translation says. Do you believe that the Lord is coming to sanctify?
Yes.
To set apart?
Yes.
That He's coming to cleanse the church? That He's coming to wash the church? When is this speaking about? Is this right now, or is this future, or is this, did this happen years and years ago? The Lord is doing it now. He's sanctifying the church now. He's actively moving. He's actively blowing upon His bride right now, preparing them with an apostolic anointing to come and bring order from the chaos in the church. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the church. Do you love the church?
Yes, I do.
Verse 27, this is my favorite, and it says, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. Hallelujah. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the vision that the Lord has. This is what's on the Lord's heart right now. The heavenly bridegroom right now. He says, that I may present to myself a glorious church. I will have a glorious church.
Yes.
I will have a mature bride. Amen. Do you believe that right now, that we have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? Is it holy and without blemish?
No.
It's coming because of an apostolic anointing.
Yes.
Does that mean that everyone in the church?
No.
Everyone in the church is going to get on board? No.
No.
But there will be a church within a church, a people within a people, a wheel within a wheel that he's moving. And there will be reformations within the church. You will see change within the church. I believe that. This is a church that's known only to God. It's the invisible church amongst the visible church.
That's right.
In every single church that you see right now, there is the overcoming remnant. There's the faithful. There's the bride. And there are some that will never get on board, but there are some that are hanging in the balance right now, and they can be changed and transformed.
That's right. Amen.
Right now, membership is being accepted.
Right.
We have a choice. Are we going to join the lukewarm, apathetic ones that just want to be wooden Indians for Jesus in the church and sing that song, "We Will Not Be Moved"? Are we going to get on fire for God, get a burden for the church, and begin to burn for Jesus, begin to radiate the glory of God, be an overcoming bride,
yes,
a part of the overcoming remnant that's going to rule and reign with Christ? Who are we going to choose? In the end times, people are going to have to make a choice. It's either cold or hot.
That's right.
And there will be gatherings of hot, hot remnants. And I have seen it all over the world.
Yeah.
Literally.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some people say, "Oh, the church is such back in." I'm telling you, I've been in living rooms, I've been in basements, I've been in barns, I've been in garages, I've been in hotel meeting rooms, and I've even been in some large churches where it was burning hot.
Yes.
There was no compromise. There was a holiness unto the Lord. There was a group of people that desperately wanted the Lord to come and mess with their stuff.
Amen.
Lord, bring order from any chaos that's in our midst.
Yes.
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 I repent of anything that's holding back your move. And God's moving in these places. I have a really good brother that I really love. I got to know him, and he lives in Denmark, close to the German border, and he has a home meeting, and he invited me to his home meeting in Denmark. God is actively moving in his home meeting. He said, "The next time that you come to Scandinavia, would you be willing to come to my home meeting near the German border?" And I said, "Absolutely."
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I value
you.
Yes.
Christ's bride.
Amen.
I would rather be with 10 people that really are hungry for God.
That's
and be
right.
Speaking
yeah.
to, I've spoken to large crowds. I've spoken to 2,000, 3,000 people before. And I sat there and felt like I was going through the motions at times, where I just had to give a little sweet message and then say amen and go home. And I felt so unfulfilled. It's not about how many people that we talk
right.
about.
Amen.
One thing that I loved about Wade Taylor, and at the time, I didn't love what he told me because I didn't appreciate it. But as the years have gone on, I appreciate it. He would always say, "Steve, just look for a little group of people that you can minister to. Just start something in your living room," he would say.
Yes.
And you'd see these pictures of him in these home meetings. And he was ministering. And he would travel far to go to these home meetings. And when I first started out in ministry, I'm like, "Oh, that doesn't fulfill my mandate. I want to preach to the masses." So when he would tell me that in my early 20s, I'd be like, "Okay, I'll go there, but I want to preach to the big crowds. I got a big calling." And the Lord had to work the bigness out of me through series of events that happened.
True.
He had to break me to the point where he had to remold me from the bottom up. And now today, I have to be honest, I value more when the presence of God explodes somewhere,
yes.
even if it's in a smaller gathering.
Yes.
There's more value on seeing Jesus walk through
here.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's one reason I love coming to Long Island. I love going to Irene's basement. I love spending time with you guys because you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You understand the message. You want the message.
Amen.
You're hungry for it. You have a love in your heart for God that I do not see everywhere.
That's right.
You're yearning for more. I go some places and they are clearly content. When does the football game start? I want to go to the potluck. I mean pot love. I want to go to the pot love. What do you mean fast? I'll fast Coca-Cola for 5 minutes maybe. You got 23 minutes for your message today, and then people can't pay attention any longer than about 25 minutes. So, bring it down. I can't even open up a prayer in 23 minutes. So I would rather go somewhere in a nice, beautiful living room like this and be with people that truly love God, because you are part of His remnant. You're His remnant bride.
Thank you, Lord.
And you may not feel that way tonight, but He actively moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the signs of being a true overcomer is one that knows that they have to lean upon the Lord.
Yes.
Right. Oh my gosh. Not one that goes, I'm an overcomer, I'm a mature bride, and look at me, I've arrived on His glorious church. You're going to be welcomed to the school of the Spirit. You're going to go to the wilderness for a while. I had to go there. I had to let go of some things to become content to go wherever God wants me to go.
Amen.
And if I have to spend the rest of my life going from living room to living room, that's what I'll do. If I speak tonight in front of 20, that's fine with me. If the Lord sends me to 2,000 tomorrow night, then I'll do that. But whatever assignment He's given me, I want to do it.
Amen.
And I'm not going to change my message because I'm sitting in front of 2,000. To give them a nice little 3 points in a poem. I don't do that anymore. If I can't be me, then I'm not going.
Good for you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Setting a standard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. I'd rather take my cell phone out and preach in front of a Facebook Live than go somewhere where I can't be me.
My God. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So I'm just giving you a piece of my heart tonight.
Amen.
Because I believe I'm speaking to the right people. I believe that I'm in the midst of a conforming that's happening. That you are called, literally, those that are here in this place, you are called to bring reformation to the church.
Hallelujah, yes, Lord.
Yes.
When I say church, I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about the church,
body
of Long Island. The church of Long Island. There's a presence of the Lord here.
Yes, that's right.
And people need what you have here. And so the Lord is going to give you an apostolic anointing in these end times. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's going to bring reformation. That's going to bring order from the
that's
chaos.
Right. Come on now.
He's going to burden you for those inside of other churches. Some people think that the new trend, and I'm not against technology. I'm not against, I know from generation to generation things change. But what I'm not for is lukewarmness.
That's right.
And in many churches today, it's all about the show, the technology, about the screens and the coffee shop and passing out the fancy postcards, and people get baptized. You all got to have the same T-shirt. Pass that out too. It's whatever fad or trend. And the Lord is beyond that. He's gathering a remnant.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And He's placing His divine nature in her.
Yes.
She will have the radiance of Christ.
Yes.
The beauty of the Lord, the handsomeness of the Lord is upon her. Others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, because you've been changed into His likeness. And you show up at maybe a shallow congregation somewhere that's not flowing in the deeper things, but just you being there and interceding and praying is bringing change and transformation.
That's right.
There's a remnant there somewhere.
That's right, amen.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
You will have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 7 says, yes. You are all fair, my love, and yes. There is no spot in you.
Yes.
You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Lord Jesus, may I be fair. May you find no spot in me. For you will have a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes, God.
Lord, if there be any spot in me, Father, bring it to my attention, and I humble myself.
Yes.
And I ask you, Father, that you would create within me a clean heart. Yes. Lord, search my heart, O God. If there be any wicked way within me, Father, reveal it to me. And Lord, by your grace, I pray that you would change me, conform me, Father, into the very image
yes.
of your precious Son, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes.
His bride is crying out right now, my love, may there be no spot in me. Hallelujah. And the Lord is looking at his bride and he's saying, you are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it.
That's right.
Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house. Who's going to build his church in the end times? The Lord. And as a result of that, Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan's plan will not succeed. He will have a church, a glorious church, a church within a church. The church is not dying. The church is coming alive. The church is not on its worst days. The best days have yet to come. There's an apostolic anointing that's coming through an overcoming bride that's going to bring change and transformation. The people of God begin to arise and take their rightful place. And they're going to have spiritual authority to declare with a present and creative word that's going to bring change to those around them. Even dead churches are going to come alive. Lazarus, come forth. Ezekiel's boneyard. Speaking and declaring a creative word. It's going to happen. The bride will have power.
Hallelujah.
And there'll be consequence to what she says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom age. We're running and ruling by a new set of rules. Hallelujah. At times it feels like the church is defeated and divided. It's being mocked. It's poor in spirit. It's struggling, ineffective, compromised, and confused. But the Father will release an apostolic anointing through his bride to bring divine order.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Divine order is coming. It's not going to happen through a super pack of master apostles and master prophets. It's going to happen through those that are just simple lovers of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We will be surprised when we see some of those that are going to rule and reign with Christ. They may have not been valued on this earth like they deserve. But God has handpicked them because he's seen something deep within their heart.
Yes,
maybe you'll never get recognized on this earth as of having something. Mm-hmm. But God recognizes you. And don't you want his applause?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Right now, the hosts of heaven, that great cloud of witnesses is cheering you on.
Yes, great.
They believe in you. It doesn't matter if people on this earth don't value you and don't think you're important enough.
Yeah,
know that the
true.
Lord has a master plan for your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right.
He's about to touch the church supernaturally. And he's about to raise up unknown leaders that carry an apostolic anointing. That remnant. Hallelujah. How long have I been going? Boy, I could
23 minutes.
That's all?
Maybe a little bit over it. It's okay.
Hallelujah.
I
don't want to go too long.
Hallelujah.
This could easily go into tomorrow. I could easily make this a part one.
We are going.
But we have a plan for tomorrow. Well, the Lord, I believe, has a plan.
Yes,
so I kind of want to bring this plane down for a landing. I'm going to go as fast as I possibly can. But in Revelation chapter 1, verses 18 to 20 are the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
And within all seven churches, we can see the pros and the cons of each church. And if you were to look at those things, you could see those pros and those cons, or those strengths and those weaknesses within the church right now. You also can say that each church, each one of the seven churches, represents a particular age. You could say that it goes in chronological order.
That's right.
If you were to study this in church history, you know that Ephesus was before 100 AD, and that they were known for being busy, that they hated evil. And at the same time, they lost their first love because of so many programs and lots of activity.
Sounds familiar. Sounds like this.
Even though this is a representative of a particular age of Ephesus before, I believe, AD 100, we see this today. We see busy churches, so busy, coming up with so many programs and things to do, that they have lost their first love. We can never lose our first love. That's the more important. We see too many programs and lots of activity. Then there was Smyrna. I got to move fast now. Smyrna. And in Smyrna, you could say that this was around 100 AD to 313 AD. And this was a persecuted church, but it was prosperous at the same time.
Yeah.
That's about all that it says about this particular church of Smyrna. And then there was Pergamon, 313 to 590 AD. It said that their faith was strong, but at the same time they worship idols, sexually immorality, and there was a doctrine of demons. Can you see this within the church today?
The church.
Doctrines of demons. The only thing you got to do is go on Facebook and listen to a couple Facebook prophets, and you will clearly see doctrines of demons.
Yes.
Is every Facebook prophet peddling doctrines of demons? Absolutely not. But anybody, you have to be wise today, and I tell this everywhere I go. I know I've said this here before. Anybody with a cell phone can pick it up and begin to teach.
That's right.
They can go get a card for $3 and call themselves a super prophet, and they can create their own website, put their PayPal link down there, and begin to peddle all kinds of false doctrine. They can claim to have a big and a fancy ministry, but you know what you need to look for? Humility and holiness.
That's right.
The fruit of the Spirit. It is so important, and I don't want to get sidetracked on this, but it's so important that in today's ministries that we see the fruit of the Spirit in all of our lives, that we have the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
I know people who can function and flow in the gifts, but they don't have the fruit. I've seen some, because I go to conferences, I speak at conferences with other people, and I've seen some people that were so anointed, they were laying their hands on the sick and they were recovering, but they were as mean as a snake to the waitress. They had a gossiping tongue and a bad attitude. But boy, they could sure flow from the pulpit. Amen? Pergamos, they had sexual immorality and doctrine of demons. Their faith was strong. We see this. Thyatira, 590 to 1517, says that they had good works, that they were faithful and patient, but at the same time they had corrupt leaders, abuse of power, and sexual immorality. Do we see that in the church?
That's here now too.
Abuse of power, corrupt leaders, sexual immorality. Hallelujah. Then there was Sardis, 1517 to 1730. That they were alive, but at the same time, the Lord said they were complacent, lazy, prayerlessness, religiousness. They were imperfect. Do we see that in today's church? Philadelphia, 1730 to 1900, there was a perseverance, and they were commended, and they didn't say anything negative about them. Lord, let us be like Philadelphia. And then there was the seventh church. I'm getting to the end of the message here. We're getting to the good part. Got to set this up in order so that we can get to the good part and kind of go over what we just said. That there was nothing really that he rebuked them on except for that they had an elitist attitude, that they were comfortable, and that they had need of nothing, which was a lot. But see, they didn't think they'd done anything wrong. They thought they were right in their own eyes. But at the same time, they had need of nothing. But yes, they were. They were comfortable. They had an elitist mentality. It was a lukewarm church. Now, If we're going in chronological order and we see that the Laodicean church is a representative of the last church, don't you think if the Lord's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, that there would possibly be another end time church that we have yet to see?
Yes.
I believe that there is an eighth church. This is my personal feeling.
Come on.
Eight is the number of new beginnings.
Yes. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord.
That the Lord during the kingdom age is going to begin to raise up his bride.
Hallelujah.
And there will be a gathering of people because of the apostolic anointing that's flowing, and we'll begin to see another church being formed. It's going to be a church within a church. But I don't believe that Laodicea, how can that define the end time church before the coming of the Lord?
No.
How can it?
It can't.
There must be another one.
That's right.
There must be. And I believe that the Lord is raising up right now from the wreckage. He's raising up. Hallelujah. He's raising up a mature bride. There will be those that are overcomers that will rule with the rod of iron. There will be a church like no other church in history.
Amen.
And when the Lord speaks over them, he's not going to say, you've done this and this. He's going to say, you are my overcoming bride.
Hallelujah.
And I can trust you. Therefore,
hallelujah,
when you speak,
hallelujah,
people will listen. And those that don't listen, there'll be consequence because there'll be the breaking.
My God.
That speaks of a reaping. That speaks of having authority. And there's consequence to not listening.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
It speaks of the government.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The church has accomplished much throughout the ages, and I'm thankful for what it's accomplished, but still needs transformed into maturity.
Yes.
It needs transformed into maturity. And the Lord will raise up the overcomers to be able to do that. We see in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, that there's several things that are going to happen to the church supernaturally. It says that they're going to come into the full unity of the faith. It says that they're going to be perfect, which means mature. It says they'll reflect Christ's image, that they would be sanctified, cleansed, glorious, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that they'd be mature, and they would work together effectively. Does this sound like an eighth church?
Yes.
The eighth day church?
Yes.
The eighth day church the end time church.
That's
it's
right.
Not going to stop at Laodicea.
No,
we see bits and pieces throughout all the seven churches, but God is bringing a reformation to the church. There's an apostolic anointing that's getting ready to be manifested through His bride that's going to bring the remnant,
hallelujah,
in the proper alignment.
Right.
And we're going to see a group of overcomers begin to be used by the Lord like we've never seen before. I really believe that with all my heart.
Yes.
I don't believe I have it all figured out, but I just humbly submit that to you to take it to the Lord in prayer. I believe that the Lord is raising up an end time church.
Yes,
I want to be a part of that end time church.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
The majority.
Yeah, this is the most physical vision of just that. I was dressed in a bridal gown in the vision. I said, God, what does this mean? He goes, this is representative of the remnant. There's coming to my church bridal worship. And I said, God, can you tell me what that means? And he said, Susan, do you know how there's spontaneous prophetic worship? And I said, yes. He goes, you're going to hear when you know that my bridal age is coming upon the church, when those prophetic songs have more and more about the bride in them, and when the messages contain more and more about the bride. And I said, okay, that's what to look for. What will it be? What's your motive? What is it? And he said, when my bride is so one with me, corporately within the remnant, the wheel within the wheel, that it's like a husband and wife in the bedroom. It will be so one, so sacred, so sweet, and loving for the right reasons.
Amen. And that's the new song. That's the new song. The bride will sing a new song unto the Lord. They're so connected in heart that they'll release a new song, an expression to worship. I'm excited about it. So when people say, oh, the church, I'm excited about the church.
Amen.
I'm excited what God's going to do in the church.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe God's doing this. Let's bring it back to Long Island. God is doing it. God has chosen places like this church here, Restoration Christian Fellowship.
Yes.
You may not have hundreds and hundreds of people here and millions of dollars, but you have Jesus.
Amen.
And he carries a good word, and so do you. Hallelujah. So you just keep going.
My God.
And you keep going and keep encouraging Christ's bride.
Hallelujah.
You're making a difference in people's lives.
Yes.
You carry wisdom and wealth and spiritual substance. There's spirit and life that's coming out. Even as you go Thursday, I believe the Lord's going to use you to speak forth an apostolic word with an apostolic anointing.
Amen.
That's going to lift people. Hallelujah.
At
Deer Park, they'll be thankful that they came that night.
Hallelujah.
Not everybody has substance like that, that has a message. See, you're part of the bride. You're part of the bride. And the Lord, he's in Norfolk tonight. He's right here with
he
us.
Is.
He can rest here all night long.
Yes, he has.
He's resting here. He's here. He's in this place.
Yes,
hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
I ain't done.
They can have their donuts, they can have their coffee, and they can have their postcards. Just give me Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want Jesus.
Amen.
So we're going to manifest Jesus into the darkness. Don't give up on the church. Pray for that apostolic anointing to rest upon you, that you can bring transformation and lead people to Jesus. The eighth church will rise from the ashes of the previous seven churches and grow into full stature.
Yes.
They're going to perform many miracles. There's going to be a harvest that's going to be gathered.
Yes.
This is a whole message in itself.
That's right.
A harvest that's going to be gathered, and there's going to be a resurrection of the apostolic anointing like you've never seen before. The church is about to hit a new day of biblical pattern that we have not seen before. Hallelujah.
It's a new day. Yes.
Who's going to bring in the harvest? God's going to use. Hallelujah. God's going to use that overcoming bride.
That's right.
So he's preparing her right now.
Amen.
He's gathering right now the remnant.
Amen.
The remnant. He's gathering it. You're part of the remnant. God's going to use you to bring great change in Long Island. So don't look to the how many people, how many numbers, and what people think of you. And they may try to speak word curses over you or make you feel like you're not very special. But I'm telling you what, you have captured the attention of heaven.
That's right. Amen.
And there are things that are happening. Every time that you're faithful to gather together at that church, at Grace Church on Sunday morning at 1 o'clock, I'm telling you, there's something that's happening in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time that you gather in your basement and you say, I'm faithful, I'm going to do this no matter how many people come, there's things that happen.
That's
shiftings
right.
are happening. Portals
right.
are opening. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Right. Let there be portals opening over Long Island.
Yes.
I look forward to coming here at least once a year.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because I like to see those portals open.
Yes.
I hope that this 4 days that we're here, that the Lord himself will open a portal. Hallelujah. Over Long Island.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? I feel good that I'm right where I need to be. I may not be at a church of 1,000 people tonight, but I'm right where the Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me happy.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank
I thank you,
Lord,
for this opportunity. Father, to just deliver something for us all to consider. I don't know if I got everything 100% right, Father, but I've given it my very, very best to my understanding. I ask you, Father, that you would take this word, Father, that you would multiply it in our hearts, and that we would prepare ourselves to be that golden queen. And that you would use us as your overcomer, as your mature bride of Revelation 19, as your wise virgin of Matthew 25. That you would use us, Father, through an apostolic anointing to bring a reformation and a change to the church. We want to be a part of your eighth church, that end time church. You have not stopped at Laodicea. There's something more that you're doing, and we ask you for the more. We ask you, Lord, that your remnant would be that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. that your remnant, Father, would take their rightful place. Father, would you consider churches on Long Island? And would you fill us, Father, full of that apostolic anointing with boldness and confidence, that we would blaze, oh God, with radiant glory, with a manifest presence, into the dark places, into the apathetic places, into the places that are slumbering and sleeping, that we would see, Father, a remnant gathered from those places to be a part of your end time army. The bride has combat boots on. She's not sitting. She's active. Anticipating the very coming, the parousia, the presencing of the Lord being released in these end times. Lord, come. Jesus, come. So Lord, I believe that what I'm to do tonight, Lord, is I just want to release a corporate prayer over every person in this room. I want to release a corporate prayer. I'll take my time more tomorrow to pray for people one-on-one, but tonight I just want to release that corporate prayer that you would so stir us that we would refuse to be apathetic, that we would refuse to let our fire go out, that we wouldn't get so discouraged because of things that we've seen and heard, even hurt from the past or rejections of the past, Lord, that we would not fall into a slumbering state or an apathetic state or just going through the motions, but Lord, that you would activate us, that you would quicken us, that we would come alive tonight. Stir us, Lord. Stir us. That we would be that overcoming bride, ruling with the rod of iron. In that corporate relationship with you, sitting at your very throne with you, O God, in unity, in harmony of heart. Let the beauty of the Lord rest upon us, O God, that we may be a representative of Christ, not just with the gifts of the Spirit, but also the fruit of the Spirit. Give us your attributes, O God. Let us have the very character of Christ in all things. Let us put a guard over our mouths and what we say. Let us speak life and not death. Let us speak life over your church and not death.
Yes.
Is there anyone outside the reach of the Lord tonight? No, there is not. So Lord, break hard hearts that are sitting in the church. Wake up the slumbering ones. Wake up the foolish virgins, the daughters of Jerusalem. Wake them up. Wake them up.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The bride, take her rightful place in Long Island. From Montauk all the way up, Jesus' name. Let there be a great visitation of the very Spirit of God in Long Island. Hallelujah! That would lead to a habitation. The people would take the subways and the trains and the buses from the metro area, from even New Jersey, from even Connecticut. And they would come to see what God is doing within the Church of Long Island. Father, bring it! Oh, bring it, Jesus! Bring it, Lord! Bring it, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Blow upon the church. Bring your broom, Lord. Bring that cleansing broom.
Yes.
Sweep the backslider. Sweep the ministry. Sweep all of us tonight, Lord. Anything offensive to you, Lord. Anything that's holding us back. Any obstacle, Lord. Any distraction, Lord. Sweep it out, Jesus' name. Do a fresh spring cleaning inside of us. Search our heart, O God. If there be any wicked way within us, Father, reveal it to us. Create in us a clean heart. Renew within us a right spirit, Lord. We humble ourselves tonight, O God. We have not arrived. We are not perfect. But Lord, we want to come into full stature. We want to come into maturity.
Yes.
We want to be a part of your 8-day church.
Yes.
That end time church, that remnant, that church within a church, that people within a people, that wheel within a wheel. Lord, we must be a part of that, oh God. So therefore, we surrender and we yield to you, God, in all things, Lord. We yield to you. Hallelujah. We yield to you, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for coming and visiting. Thank you for the teaching anointing that I've sensed tonight, Lord. Let every word that came from your heart take root within our hearts. Anything that I said that's not you, may we all forget. Once again, I'm dependent upon you. That your perfect will would be done. We love you so much, Jesus. Pray for a special move of God tomorrow. Draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Those that are hungry for the Lord, bring them. We're thankful for everyone that comes. Even if there's only one, we're thankful. Hallelujah. Bless this ministry. Bless Pastor Roy, Pastor Marie, Father. We lift up their hands, O God, as armor bearers in the Spirit. We thank you, Father, that they're raising up sons and daughters.
Yes, my God. Hallelujah.
Raising up your mature bride. Thank you, Father, for their willingness to do that which you have commissioned them to do. And great will be their reward in heaven, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for faithfulness, for the example that they are, the love that so many have for them. I pray that you would honor them, Lord, not just in heaven, but also on this earth. They would see fruit like they've never seen before in 2020. Fruit that would remain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I bless them. I bless this church. I bless everyone that's here tonight. Fill them to overflowing and let them remember every word that came from your heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.